Episode 824, July 14, 2026. Today was a whirlwind. What a great crowd at Google IT-O Connect in Bengaluru. After keynotes and breakouts, I got to spend my afternoon with media, analysts, startup founders, podcasters, and influencer types. I am officially talked out. On to the reading list. First up, a survey paper from RxSive on always-on agents. The idea here is pretty straightforward. We are going to see more AI agents running continuously rather than doing one-shot sessions. But that shift raises a bunch of hard questions about what state gets persisted, how memory is managed, and most importantly, what governance and risk controls look like when an agent is always running. This is not a fluffy think piece. It is a structured analysis of what always on actually means in practice and what trade-offs come with it. Worth reading if you are building or evaluating agent systems. Next, a piece from Jason Hoffman on Jevons paradox. This is one of those essays that makes you see something you have seen 100 times with fresh eyes. Jevons observed back in 1865 that making steam engines more efficient did not reduce coal consumption, it increased it. Lower cost admitted new uses, and new uses consumed more than the old inefficiency ever had. Hoffman asks a simple question. Why do we keep flinching from this? Why do we keep assuming that making AI cheaper will somehow lead to less AI consumption? His answer is worth sitting with. He traces 3 roots: a biological bias where we project personal satiation onto aggregate demand, a structural problem where latent demand is invisible until the price point makes it real, and a deeper moral. Discomfort, where we want efficiency to be rewarded with restraint rather than appetite. His specific application here is to token pricing. The doom analysis that assumes lower AI costs mean fewer AI companies. He argues that analysis commits the same error. It prices tomorrow's costs against today's demand set, when the price decline is exactly the mechanism that admits new demand classes. A use that pencils out at $60 per million tokens is a different market from one that works at $6, and both are different from what becomes possible at cents. The 1995 bandwidth error rerun with better spreadsheets. Amazon SQS turned 20 this month. That service launched in July 2006 as one of the first 3 AWS offerings alongside EC2 and S3. For those of us old enough to remember building messaging systems by hand, the idea of a managed queue in the cloud was genuinely transformative. 20 years on, the fundamental use case has not changed. Decoupling producers from consumers, buffering bursts, keeping individual failures from cascading, but the capabilities have scaled dramatically. FIFO throughput has gone from hundreds to tens of thousands of transactions per second. Message payloads have grown from 8 kilobytes to 1 megabyte. There is new support for fairness in multi-tenant workloads to address the noisy neighbor problem. And notably, the piece calls out that the same decoupling pattern now extends to AI workloads. Queuing inference requests, managing throughput to LLMs, coordinating between autonomous agents. One of the oldest patterns in distributed systems, finding new relevance in the newest domain. The next piece is from the Engineering Enablement newsletter, with a roundup of 5 recent papers on AI in software engineering. Each paper tackles a different angle, but collectively, they tell a consistent story. The first, from Heilman et al., uses a clever self-comparison design across 16,000 developers over 43 weeks to show that weeks with high Copilot usage saw roughly 40% more completed. PRs per hour of coding time. That is a real effect, and the dose-response pattern holds up across multiple robustness checks. The second paper from Demir et al. At NBEAR asks the harder follow-up question, how much of that coding efficiency survives through to shipped software? The answer is sobering. AI increases commits by 40% for autocomplete, 140% for interactive agents, and 180% for autonomous agents. But those gains attenuate sharply through the delivery pipeline. Code to files to commits to PRs to repos to releases to software actually used by customers. The final effect on shipped software tops out around 30%. We are generating code faster than we are generating the systems needed to safely verify and deliver it. The third paper is a 6-month longitudinal study that found something the authors call the productivity experience paradox. Perceived productivity stayed high and stable. 84% of participants reported improvement at both time points. But developer experience metrics deteriorated. The share reporting worse experience on at least one dimension nearly doubled from 14 to 27% over just 6 months. Flow state was the most vulnerable. Importantly, productivity and developer experience decoupled over time. The gains and the pain were happening simultaneously and were not correlated with each other. The fourth paper is from Microsoft, outlining 22 AI tools developers actually want beyond code generation. The theme is a shift toward verification work, assembling case files for incidents, catching business logic flaws before review, generating tests that know which assertions matter. Developers drew a firm line around what they will not delegate, the core logic, the architecture, the critical decisions. They want AI to handle the assembly work, but not the judgment. And the fifth paper, from Margaret Ann Story, makes what the author calls a generational argument. The traditional metaphor of technical debt is no longer sufficient. AI is genuinely reducing technical debt through automated refactoring and review, but it is accelerating two other forms of debt that matter more in this era. Cognitive debt accumulates when shared understanding erodes faster than it is replenished. When teams accept AI-generated code without building the mental model they would have built by writing it themselves. Intent debt accumulates when the goals, constraints, and rationale behind a system are unclear, unwritten, or forgotten. These debts compound each other, and the headline implication is that understanding should be treated as a first-class deliverable, not a side effect of writing code. From VentureBeat, an article on what they call the Enterprise AI Evaluation Gap. A June survey of 157 enterprise respondents found that half have deployed an AI agent or LLM feature that passed internal evaluations and still caused a customer-facing failure. A quarter have seen it happen more than once. The striking part, 66% of respondents already permit some production deployment without human review or are building systems intended to do so within the next year. Only 5% say they fully trust the automated evaluations that would justify those released decisions. That is the gap. The autonomy ceiling is rising faster than the assurance beneath it. Traditional software testing checks whether a defined input produces an expected output. Agent testing is fundamentally harder because the system may choose its own sequence of steps, call tools, alter state, and respond differently from one run to the next. An agent can make several individually plausible decisions and still reach the wrong result. The survey found the most common reason for distrusting automated evaluation is poor alignment with real-world outcomes, cited by 29% of respondents. The guidance from the article is sound. Treat repeatability as a first-class metric. Evolve the evaluation suite with every production incident, and expand autonomy by risk rather than by ambition. From CIO Dive, Gartner is predicting that by 2029, 60% of organizations will have adopted smaller software engineering teams, up from 15% today. This is not a cost-cutting move, according to the analyst. It is a restructuring to take advantage of AI and human expertise. Typical team sizes are shifting toward 4 or 5 members, sometimes as few as 2 or 3. Each team member takes on a broader set of responsibilities, including managing AI agents. Importantly, Gartner does not predict this will cause job losses, but it does flag that slowing junior-level hiring could create knowledge transfer gaps and make organizations more dependent on expensive senior roles. The key insight is that engineers are becoming product engineers, freed from implementation details to focus on product vision and business goals. From Google Cloud, they announced K8s, iBomb, an open-source tool for generating automated AI bills of materials on GKE. The tool scrapes cluster workloads, identifies AI-serving runtimes like VLLM and Triton, detects agent frameworks, vector databases, and training jobs, then generates standardized Cyclone DX ML bomb documents. What is useful here is that it produces bombs from live cluster observation rather than build time artifact scanning. It treats the cluster state as a functional input. Identical cluster inputs produce byte. Identical. Bombs. Making it ideal for GitOps workflows. There is also a confidence model that separates declared assets, explicitly configured by engineers, from inferred assets, detected by pattern matching, and unresolved assets, where AI presence is detected but exact versions cannot be established. This matters for audits because it establishes a clear chain of trust between human intent and machine inference. The tool also maps directly to regulatory frameworks, including the EU AI Act, NIST, AI RMF, and ISO IIEC 42001. And finally, from the New Stack, a piece on how AI has turned all individual contributors into frontline managers. The CTO of LaunchDarkly argues that the IC role as it existed is gone. Every engineer is now managing a set of agents and coordinating across teams, which are exactly the skills we associate with management. The piece digs into whether this new work pattern is actually making engineers more productive, and the answer is murky. One CTO quoted argues that software exists to solve problems. If AI lets teams ship 10 times as much code, but customer outcomes do not improve, productivity has not increased. Another expert notes that most companies are tracking the wrong signals. Lines of code, PRs, merged, velocity points, the same metrics as before. AI, which do not capture whether any of it is actually valuable. There is also a candid observation from David Holtz of Midjourney. People are feeling extremely productive and extremely drained at the same time, which suggests something is off. The consensus in the piece is that the drain comes from constant context, switching to manage multiple agents, the new managerial overhead. And if teams are going to shrink, this agent babysitting model becomes the new normal. Looking across these pieces, a few themes jump out. The first is that AI is genuinely accelerating code generation, and the efficiency gains are real. But the benefits are not surviving the trip to shipped software at anything like the same magnitude. The bottleneck has moved downstream to verification, integration, and shared understanding. The second theme is that we are rapidly expanding agent autonomy, agents making decisions, shipping to production, coordinating workflows, while our ability to evaluate, monitor, and govern that autonomy is lagging. And the third theme ties directly to the second. The shift from writing code to managing agents is a real change in what engineering work actually is. And it is not clear that our teams, our metrics, or our hiring practices have caught up to that shift. This episode had a strong AI engineering flavor. I will see you tomorrow.